Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now that I know these dogs can open doors, what the fuck am I supposed to do? None of these doors have locks. There is nothing I can do. I am sitting there literally in shock because there's blood trailing the halls.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of The Personality Hires, where I'm joined by Jackson.
Whoa!
I'm joined by Rebecca.
Hi!
I'm joined by Mikey.
Everybody have a lava.
And I'm Abby. And Rebecca, you were telling us that you had an absolutely traumatic story about a dog sitting app.
So I've been dog sitting on the side, unemployed tings. Hello.
This is your side hustle?
This has like been kind of my side hustle. It's been a side gig that actually brings in a pleasant amount of money. I've been able to like afford things like, I don't know, healthcare premiums with the help of people everywhere in Metro Atlanta who own dogs.
How much are you getting? Talk numbers.
Well, it depends.
$4 and a pack of gum.
I'm selling anything here. It's $45. If you want to book me for an overnight, I will house it and I will take care of your dog.
Whoa.
I do. Is that expensive?
No, you're staying at their house for 45 bucks.
A lot more.
Yeah, 45 bucks a night, literally.
No, that seems so low.
When I dog sat, I got like 25 bucks for an hour, and you're staying the whole night for $45?
You got $25 an hour for dog sitting for who?
Yeah, one of my friends.
That's kind of nuts. Okay.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that's okay. Because you have to like touch literal dog shit.
Not that. I'm talking about just like
the staying at the place for a whole night that's getting me. Like, if you were to take them out on a walk, I would probably charge like 20 or 25 bucks.
I charge $25 for walks. I charge $35 for drop-ins. And my rate is $45 a night for the house sitting, basically, for overnight.
Does that count for the walks as well, or do you get the $45 for the night plus $25 for a walk in the evening and the walk in the morning?
It's added on, so it's like the whole thing.
A drop-in's 35, but overnight is 45.
Make this make sense.
That doesn't make any sense.
I was going to argue, but let's remember this is Rebecca. $45 seems abnormally cheap, except we're talking about Rebecca, who loves boyfriend currency. And if she drops in at $45 for an entire night, she gets out of her parents' basement and she gets to fuck her boyfriend and some rando's home for $45.
Wow. It's like you read my mind.
That's a good point, Abby. Okay. She should be paying them.
My God.
She's like, this is an Airbnb where I get to play with a dog and my boyfriend.
Why go to a motel when you could get paid?
That was my plan, honestly. But no, the app is like, you have to start low because then no one picks you if you just have like no bookings and no ratings. So you start low and then you build up as you have more people. Once I have a booking, I take them off the app and then I make them pay me more. So it works out. I've made like okay money, but I've never had a problem until very recently. I ran into a very traumatic event and I'm going to regale you with that tale. Here's what happened. I was going to come on like 2 weeks ago on the podcast with like a silly, funny question for you all, which was, is it okay to have sex at a house that you're dog sitting?
Absolutely not. And you texted me when I was in Scotland and you were like, you could have had me cat sit. I'm like, no, I was looking at all of my countertops and thought I cook on those and I will never be able to after Rebecca comes and cat sits for me.
Well, I'm 31, so I need like a mattress. So don't worry about your kitchenette. But
I would be horrified to learn that anyone who's house sitting or cat sitting for me would be doing any of that activity in my place.
Your rates are about to plummet there, Rebecca, after this comes out.
The only kitty I want taken care of at my apartment right now are my two cats. So yeah, I would be horrified.
That's fair.
No, but okay, that's from the hold on. Whatever. That's from the homeowner's point of view. From your point of view, it makes all the sense in the world. That's a beautiful deal. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I can't knock you for like wanting to try it. It's just like from my perspective of hiring someone for a service, I'd be not cool with that.
So I just want to be clear. What you're doing, I have no issue with. If you were coming to my house, I'd have a big issue with it.
Yeah. Thank you, Mikey. No, my fear is that like there are cameras everywhere. So it's like there's not really like a good reason to do that. And also, I wouldn't really be comfortable doing that. And I feel like in another person's home. This was a hypothetical.
Good cover.
Weird.
Good cover.
Wait. Also, hold on.
Yeah, fucking right.
If they have cameras in the home, that's got to go into your rates. You can charge more.
You can't charge more because I have security.
If you're going to have sex on their camera.
People are going to start letting you dog sit for free.
Yeah, my like non-consensual OnlyFans account starts on top of the dog sitting. Oh now, listen.
Clip that.
So I showed up for a meet and greet, which is what you do before you actually book the home and the dogs. And it was three different dogs. And I met the couple, this like younger 40s couple. They seemed really, really cool. I was literally excited to be like, I'm going to network with them and like see what the deal is after this weekend because they seem like really cool people. Nicest house in like Metro Atlanta, like super sleek. Tech everywhere, beautiful home.
Define nice. Like, what neighborhood? I need square footage. What kind of cars did they have in the driveway? What's the address? When are they not home?
Well, after everything that happened, I'm afraid to even talk about this story, honestly. So I feel like I have to fudge a few details just to keep myself safe. But picture like yuppie, nice, man works in like tech, woman like barely has a job. She has like some sort of probably like marketing job where she just does Pilates and shit like that. Like
dream.
That kind of thing. Literally the dream. So they have three dogs that I was supposed to be sitting from Friday to the long weekend, Monday. They were going to come back home. I was like, okay, great. This seems like a great like gig. I'm getting like a really large payout from this.
Yeah, you're going to make like 18 bucks.
Yeah, I can pay for one Chipotle burrito bowl. And I asked them, I was like, hey, my boyfriend's in town. Is it cool if he stays over? And they were like, yeah, absolutely. No problem with that at all. So I was like, great. This sounds like a fun long-term weekend with like these cute dogs that I met. So I show up to the meet and greet and red flag number one, they have two older dogs. There's two German Shepherds and there's one like a Chihuahua, basically. There's an older German Shepherd and then there's a really young German Shepherd that's like 9 months old, a puppy. And he's like the most energetic puppy you've ever seen. He's jumping all over me. He's a lot crazy, but I was like, whatever. I've dealt with crazy dogs before. It's not like my dog is not crazy. She's a big jumper too. So honestly, red flag number one, I totally just swooped over my head. All the dogs hanging out. Everyone was cool. They showed me around. They showed me how to feed the dogs and told me about their routines. I'm not writing a single thing down. They're just like, we'll write this for you. I'm not asking any questions. I'm a terrible dog sitter.
Okay.
I've only been doing drop-ins. So this was my first big house sitting job. So they basically like wrote down the whole plan of everything they needed, but it seemed like a really easy job. So Friday comes and I get a text from the woman and she's asking me, when can I arrive? And I was like, you booked me for a certain number of hours. So I'm going to show up, you know, when you book me, I'm not going to like work for more than the hours that I've allotted. So I was like, oh, I'm supposed to be there at like noon. So I'll get there at like 11:45. And she says, okay, great. Thank you. Just so you know, try to keep interactions between the older dog and the younger dog down because they've been getting into it a little bit.
Oh, God.
And so I was like, okay, noted. Now I'm going to keep them completely separate because if you tell me that, I mean, I'm watching your dogs. I want to make sure that they're safe and everything's cool. So I get there and the whole weekend, they basically wanted me to keep the younger dog tethered to the side of the wall, hanging out with me in the living room. Cause it's like this young, not neutered German Shepherd, along with like another older, not neutered German Shepherd and a Chihuahua. And I guess the younger one was just really energetic and hadn't learned commands yet and just needed to kind of like be contained, sort of. But he was super nice and they were all hanging out when I first went to see them. So I get there and the young one's in his crate and I take out the older one. The Chihuahua, and I'm keeping them completely separate. And I put the older dog in a room, like a closed door, and I put the Chihuahua in another room in a closed door, and I take out the younger puppy. Because I'm like, after I read that from her, I'm going to keep these dogs totally separate. And then I see a note that she's left me, and it's got like all their food and like all the things I'm supposed to do. And at the very bottom, it says, try to keep them more separate, like a little smiley face.
And they have rabies.
And I was like, okay, now I've read this twice. This is something that I was like not told at all before, that they had like any sort of like problems interacting with each other. So I'm like, it's probably still fine, but I'm going to like go with like abundance of caution and make sure that they're separate. So I bring the other dog in, the puppy, and I tether him to the wall, and I'm kind of sitting there with him, and I'm like, okay, he's kind of crazy, but I'm not sure how I'm going to navigate this entire weekend where I have to keep them like totally separate, which is not what they've told me to do, but they want me to keep interactions down. I look over my shoulder and the older dog is behind me.
It he's is right like, behind me, isn't he?
He's right behind me, isn't he? I look over, I jump up, and they immediately start fighting. They start to fight each other. It's not bad. Like, I'm able to separate them because one is tethered to the wall.
Who instigated? So
I don't know.
Rebecca.
Yeah, honestly, no. The old dog just like approached and the younger dog just like went crazy. So I'm able to get the older dog back and like close it up again. And I go back to the younger dog and I'm like, my God, that was kind of scary. I feel like I'm going to have to keep you in your crate the entire weekend. And then I'm just going to have to talk to the owners and be like, what do you want me to do? So I untether.
Keep in mind, this sold for $45.
And that.
This is a lot to go yes, through for $45.
Yeah. My literal God. So I'm taking the puppy to the crate, and then like I'm in fucking Jurassic Park, I turn and look at the hall and I see the door handle open, because no one told me that this older dog can open the door.
Wait. So that's how it got out presumably the first time. You didn't question how it had escaped the first time either?
It happened so quickly that I was like, what the hell? Did I not put it in a room? Like, what is going on?
It can walk through walls.
They're teleporting.
It was so scary. And so I am in complete, like, fear.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is when it gets bad. It's not going to be funny anymore, guys. It's bad. It was a traumatic event for me.
I feel like I need to be on that. Does the dog die website? Does one of the dogs hurt?
No dogs die, but a dog does get injured. Trigger warning for dog injuries. I am literally grabbing the puppy as I see the older dog use the door, open the door, and trot over. And I am pulling this gigantic German Shepherd to his crate, and they immediately start fighting again.
Oh, no, I can't. This is where I got to tune out.
Well, I'll just give you the abbreviated version,
yeah,
which
going.
Is that.
No, no.
Yeah.
What was she wearing?
Shut up.
That's crazy.
They fought for 10 minutes.
What? Like, what were you doing?
I was trying to separate them, but they.
World Star!
Shut up. It was horrifying. This dog wanted to kill the other dog. Like, literally 10 minutes, I could not separate them. I was like yelling and screaming and trying to like get in there, and I could not. Like,
obviously, you're scared you're going to get bit if you like throw your arm in there. Like,
oh, I could get in between two German Shepherds fighting. My God, but I'm trying to anyway. I'm grabbing like pots and pans and like literally trying to separate them, bang them, yell, blah, blah, blah. 10 minutes literally until the older dog finally like stops, like cannot do more.
You know what I can't stop picturing? You know that vine from Bad Girls Club where she has the pots and pans and she's like, I ain't gonna get no sleep because of y'all. Y'all ain't gonna. Please tell me you've seen that vine because it is not
of
funny.
Of course. I saw that BGC scene when it aired. I am a BGC stan.
It's you for the German Shepherds.
Yeah, literally. I mean, and then finally, the young one let go and backed up and was like, I'm just a normal dog. I'm sorry. I'm not a fucking murderer. Like, it has been for 10 minutes. And I got the older dog outside and I closed the younger dog in the bedroom. And I'm like, just sitting there like, now that I know these dogs can open doors, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Like,
What? Lock the door, Rebecca.
There's no lock. None of these doors have locks. There is nothing I can do. I am sitting there literally in shock because there's blood trailing the halls from these dogs attacking each other. I'm able to grab the younger dog because I was afraid to approach it just like in case it was like still like going to attack me. Put it in its crate. I go over to the older dog and it needs to go to the animal vet, like the hospital. It had 3 punctures from being bit.
Where?
This was I think it was like its ear and 2 in its leg. It's just laying there. It's limping. It can't get up. I need to take it to the hospital. I'm trying to contact the owners and they are not responding to me. Like they won't call me. They won't text me. I'm giving them all the information. Finally, Kyle arrives and is able to like get this dog in the car so we can drive it to the vet and we get the emergency contact on the line, and it's the man's ex-wife.
Stop.
What? Yes, it is the man's older ex-wife who is a complete angel, just amazing across the board, so sweet, so helpful. I'm sobbing literally this entire time from start to finish. I cannot even tell you how disturbing and traumatic this entire scenario was.
That's
so
valid.
It's like not funny to talk about. It was just absolutely horrifying. And this poor dog is injured. And these owners did not explain to me that their dog is fucking Hannibal Lecter and is going to fuck up the other dog if they're in the same room. Mind you, no one told me that the dogs could escape behind closed doors like they're velociraptors in fucking Jurassic Park. So this has just been a shit show from beginning to end. And I can't get anyone on the line to tell them what's happening. Finally, I get the wife on the line and she's like freaking out, which is totally understandable. Of course, I'm like telling her what's going on, but she doesn't want him to go to the animal hospital. She wants me to take him to the vet primary care, which I'm like, lady, they're not equipped for this. He has to go into the animal hospital right now. And the ex-wife is finally like able to convince them that he needs to be seen like right now. We all agree, okay, this older dog is going to stay with the ex-wife for the weekend and they'll be separated and that will just solve a big problem. So I go back home to go take care of Hannibal Lecter and the cute little chihuahua. And I get there and I've been in contact with the wife a lot. The husband calls me and he's so apologetic. He's like, I'm so sorry this happened. Not surprised because obviously they had been fighting before and no one had told me. And if they had told me that this was like a possibility and this was their behaviors, I would have said, I'm not equipped for this. Also pay me $75, not $45, because I can't handle this. And I get there and the wife had been really cold to me and just like treating me like dirt. She's upset, which is fine, but you don't have to treat me like this. I'm the one who fucking saved your dog. And she texts me. In the text, she says, the injuries didn't look bad over photos, but it looks like he's just going to need some drains because the puncture wounds are a little deeper. The stupid girl didn't try to separate them.
Wait, what? Sent that text to you?
She accidentally texted me about myself when she was trying to text another friend and talk shit about how I'm stupid because I didn't get in between her mauling German shepherds.
No way.
What did you say back?
I never responded to her again. I immediately called her husband. And he didn't answer either because I think they immediately were like, oh, no, I accidentally texted her. So I call the husband and I leave a voicemail. I'm like, please call me back. He calls me back and I say, hey, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but your wife just texted me calling me a stupid girl. And I want to reiterate, I did try to separate your attacking dogs, but I'm not going to get bit by them because that would have been a much bigger problem for you. If you feel like you need to find another carer for your 2 dogs this weekend, I'm totally comfortable with that. And so he's like, he was so apologetic. He was like, I'm so sorry. She's really upset. Like, you know, these are like her babies. And I'm like, okay, I'm upset. I saw it. I was not told that like this was their interactions. You put all of us in danger. So we're good, buddy. He's like, I'll get my friend to like come watch. So just like make sure they're good, like put them in their crates and you can just leave. And I was like, goodbye. And I got out of there.
Did you get paid?
That's how I did. I was literally in shock. It would be not fun to describe like how terrible it was. I had blood in my car. Like, I had to clean up the blood in their house.
Oh, my God.
It was traumatic. I was, like, with this poor dog that was attacked. They did not explain to me that, like, this was, like, in this dog's behavior. I had not been told that they needed to be separated in any way until I got to their house. And at that point, it was too late because I didn't know that dogs could open doors. So how was I even going to keep them separated?
Did you at any point explain to them that you did separate them, but they opened the fucking door, which dogs canonically don't do?
Yeah, that is not usually in a dog's behavior. I had a phone call with the wife and she asked me to go through everything. And I basically told you exactly what I just said, which was like, you know, this is what happened. I didn't know that this dog could open the door. And she was like, oh, yeah, he does that. I was like, what?
Is it door handles or door knobs?
It was handles. It was like, you know, like those, like, yeah, like that's how it could get out because it could just jump on it and use its weight to open the door. And she was like, you couldn't get in between them. And I said, I wasn't going to get in between two attacking dogs. I told her what I did, like, which was bang pots and pans, tried to grab collars, gave commands. The only thing that actually ever worked was I banged the pot and pan together and I yelled out this top of my lungs, and that finally separated them.
And then you bonked him on the head, and then his eyes popped out.
Yeah. Is that the part that you're leaving out? That you beat them up with pans?
I did not beat them up with pans. No, I tried to separate them as much as possible without putting myself in the line of danger, which was, in my opinion, the appropriate thing to do. But I guess in her eyes, I should have just dived between them and like gotten mauled or something. So yeah, she considered me a stupid girl. And she did text me after the phone call and she was like very apologetic. She was like, I'm sorry, these are my babies. I was trying to text a friend. Like, I've been beside myself, blah, 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 blah. And I just never responded, and I left her house.
Fun fact, I did know a dog that can open door knobs, too. So they are capable of that. What I'm taking away here, the funniest part of the story, at the beginning you said that you were going to text them next week and be friends, like, trying to make a before calling you a stupid girl, do you think that they wanted to be friends with their dog sitter?
Well, they were really
These rich, sexy couple.
This is like when a girl smiles at a guy and he's like, she's into me, isn't she?
Listen, this is what networking is all about. You just meet people and you can make those kinds of connections. Like,
you're going to be friends with the help?
They would be. They'd give me a job. They asked me like what I do and I like didn't say like I'm in between things. So I said like I think I literally said I'm like a freelance like a marketing person.
I fight dogs.
Wait.
Perfect.
I'm so surprised that after all of that happened you were still willing to like go and hang out there. Like I would have been like you're going to have to figure out something else for this weekend cuz I'm not doing this anymore.
Well, she had blood to clean up.
I had to go back.
That wasn't your fault.
As soon as this happened, and as soon as the wife was treating me really coldly over the phone, I was like, I cannot believe I'm going to have to take care of these dogs for the weekend. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I feel so uncomfortable in these people's house. So I couldn't abandon the dogs. You know what I mean?
I know it was an accident, but for that to happen while someone, a stranger, is staying in your house, you had such an upper hand there, so much leverage, like, you could have done anything. I know it was a small infraction, but if you were a worse person, you could have done some bad stuff.
Like what?
Like what?
I don't know. What are you hinting at?
Like two dogs?
No, like, say she did something actually egregious. You're a stranger in her house. You have access to her shampoo. Like, whatever you need to do is at your disposal.
Yeah,
right there at your fingertips.
You straight up insulted the person who has full access to your house for the next 3 days.
So that must have been scary for her.
Yeah.
Like,
that's,
oh, no. This could be anything. Toothbrushes. Wow. Like, anything could happen right now.
Yeah, you should just send a very ominous text that's like,
yeah,
don't use your toothbrush.
No, I should have had sex on her kitchen island.
You didn't?
Like, that, to be fair,
the opportunity was right there.
Going back to the debate, I think this is probably the only case where I think it's acceptable to fuck your boyfriend at somebody's house.
How about Kyle getting there? He's real excited to go have some fun, and then Rebecca's rolling around in a pile of blood.
She's like, role play.
Did they leave you?
Ex-girlfriend?
Did they leave you a terrible review on this undisclosed dog sitting app?
So they have not reviewed me, because this was actually a predicament that I've been having now, is that I have the ability to leave feedback on them and their individual dogs, and they will see that feedback if I choose to share it. And I honestly am kind of scared to post anything, because I'm like, this was such a just traumatic situation, and obviously it's like not great blood between like me and this person.
Dog blood.
It's dog blood. We got dog blood all over our hands. On one hand, it's like I want to prepare future sitters and be like, hey, if these dogs are together, they will literally try to kill each other. And then on the other hand, I kind of just want to like let them do their thing. They haven't reviewed me at this point, and I don't think they ever will, because I think the husband was really embarrassed. Yeah. But I don't know what to do. I don't know.
They already reviewed you to your face. Like, what else could they say? You know what I mean?
I know.
Like, at this point, you're not going to see anything about you, but you are doing the other dog sitters such a disservice if you do not say something. And you don't have to get emotional with it. Just give the facts.
No, I agree. And I've like saved like the text that I like need to like send it through, like what I've written. And it's all factual. It's not like I'm not shading anybody. But I can also say, I could also give feedback on them as a owner and say that they were inappropriate and called me a dumbass.
I think you outline everything, only the facts, but include the facts that the owner called you dumb, which is crazy.
I do.
And then you screenshot the draft and you send it to them and you say, this is about to go live.
Pay me $100.
Pay me $26 and it won't go up.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Well, while Rebecca almost got a dog killed over the weekend, I almost got abducted in Cartagena, Colombia, and it was horrifying.
How come every one of your trips you come back with an I was almost abducted story?
Because I'm a beautiful girl who is in demand in the human trafficking ring, okay? No, I'm just kidding.
That is the craziest brag that I think I've ever... I'm pretty trafficable, you know?
Very applicable. Blonde hair goes crazy on the market. No, this one wasn't so much my fault. It was kind of my fault for being a little bit too naive and trusting, but not my fault in the sense that I was taken advantage of in a foreign country.
What were you wearing? Sorry.
So anyway, I went to Cartagena last weekend for MLK Day weekend with a bunch of girls, and I was really not so nervous about coming to the country. I feel like for the last 6 months, I've been convincing everyone in my family. I'm like, everyone says they feel very safe. Like, I know there's a level 3 travel advisory, but like everyone I've talked to has had a really good time there. So like, I'm not really that nervous about it. It's just like the rest of the Caribbean. So when you get off the plane in Cartagena, you literally have to wait in this 3-hour customs line, standing up, no AC. You're exhausted already from the 4-hour, 5-hour flight. It's just the worst. So by the time you get out of the customs line, you're just like, thank God, civilization. So I get my bag, and immediately there's a man standing by the bags wearing this sort of uniform looking thing. The best way for me to describe it is it sort of looks like the enlisted Air Force people uniforms. Like, it's like a blue collar t-shirt with like some logos on it, and it says courier. And so I'm walking towards the security line to get out, because you have to go through security again. And he goes, in broken English, let me grab your bags. And I go, oh no, I don't need any help, but thank you. And he literally just grabs my bags and puts it on like his little trolley. This is how naive I am. I'm like, he's standing here with the rest of the staff. Like everyone's watching this go down. Like this must just be like a normal service because like they have this weird security contraption. So I'm like, whatever. So he's chatting with me and we're going through this line. And we go through security and we walk outside and there's like a massive crowd of people, like the coach drivers, like transfer people, Uber drivers, all of that. And he's immediately like, do you have a car? And so I show him a photo of the guy that sent me a photo from my transfer, like my pre-booked transfer, because I already bought a car. I was like, I have this paid already. I know who I'm talking with. Here's a photo of him. Do you want to like take me to him? So he takes me to this guy who immediately like ushers me to the line of transfer drivers. Somebody has a list with my name on it. Like it says Abby Murphy. So the courier that was with me is like talking in Spanish and is like showing them the photo on my app and, you know, pointing to the photo with my name on it. And this woman goes, ah, yes. And I go, Abby? And she's like, yes. So she goes and gets the car. I'm standing with the courier. Finally, the car comes around and he puts my bags in the car. I get in the transfer and then he immediately asked me for money. And I was like, fuck, I should have known better. Like I fell for this scam and I'm sitting here going, I was around so many other people. Why did nobody say anything? Whatever. This is my fault. I told him I have no money. And he's like, whatever. So he gives me a fist bump and moves on. This is where things go wrong. So I'm sitting in the transfer. The woman driver starts driving in the direction of where my hotel is. So I'm not really thinking much at first. And then about 5 minutes in, I get a text on WhatsApp from Transfers, which is the name of the company I book through. And my driver goes, where are you?
And I, oh, that's out of a horror movie.
I immediately go into a blind panic. I've already been in this situation before, kind of, because I told you the story about me going to Greece and I booked the Greece version of Uber, which is called Free Now. And I'm literally in Greece and he cancels my ride like halfway in. And so I'm thinking I'm about to get abducted and kidnapped. Having a little bit of PTSD from that moment, I look at the car door handle to be able to like open it. And I don't see anything that says like unlock here. Like there's nothing that obviously says like you can unlock. And so I immediately start to panic. I'm sweating. I'm on the verge of tears. And I just call out, where are you going? And she goes, Hotel Oso, which is not the name of my hotel. And I go, no, that is not my hotel. And I'm thinking I can take her, but I can't take any men that she brings me to. Like if they have guns, like I'm fucked. I was prepared fully. This was my plan of action. If things were going to go really wrong, I was going to knock her out and start driving the vehicle. Like grand theft. That was my only plan of action.
What was your plan of what you were going to hit her with? Because I have also had this thought when I've been in an Uber before and I've like tried to calculate out what my course of action would be. And I want to know where your head was at.
I was going to grab her throat and then I was going to push her head up against the window and I was going to knock her out.
It's pretty hard to knock someone out.
Mikey, when you think you're about to get raped in a foreign country, you find that you're pretty strong.
Yeah, have you ever thought about that, Mikey?
I think about that all the time.
What were you wearing last time you were in Colombia?
It's in my dreams.
Live a little, Jesus.
So anyway, I'm sitting there thinking, I'm literally about to take this woman out. So I tell her, where are you going? She says, Hotel Oso. I'm like, I literally just go, that is not my hotel. That is not my hotel. I literally, the spirit of Kate Gosling takes over in me. And I just start telling her the name of my hotel. I'm like, you need to turn right here. You need to turn right here. So I feel a little bit better when she turns right, because once she turns right, we immediately get into the walled city, which is what I was told is the safer part of Cartagena for tourists. But then she goes, give me your phone. And I go, no. And so I'm holding up my phone in front of her, trying to show her directions. I'm like, when I tell you, I'm like leaping into the front seat, trying to like make sure I have some kind of leverage in case I have to take over and start driving this car. I'm like holding it in front of her face and she grabs my phone and I go, no. And then I grab my phone back. She puts it in her phone. She's like, it's okay. It's okay. I'm like, no, it's not. It is not okay. She starts driving my hotel. She's very clearly going in the direction of the hotel. Like I was getting a vibe that I'm like, okay, I don't get the sense that this woman's a threat, but I won't know until I get to my hotel.
Did you not tell her that you are surely in the wrong car?
I'm in survival mode. I'm not thinking wrong car, wrong car, wrong car. I'm thinking I need to get out of this car.
Yeah, like I would say to take me back to the airport. Like,
No. I'm saying I want to make sure I'm in civilization. I want to be as close to people as possible.
Okay, sure.
So I'm thinking just get me to the hotel. Whatever else I can figure out, just take me to the hotel. So she takes me to the hotel. She takes my bags. She seems like a lovely woman. So I do feel kind of bad, but I'm pissed because I'm now realizing in my head this courier or whoever else in between this translation has taken me to the wrong person, even though I gave them like very explicit instructions on who to take me to, who I booked through, that kind of thing. I had photos. I had my name. I'm like, how did this happen? How did I get to somebody that was not my driver? It's funny because I felt relieved because she was a woman. I'm like, oh, I booked with a woman. This is so great. So she drops me off at the hotel. I'm texting with my driver, whose name is Brian, who has all the other girls on my trip. There's like four other girls in his car that I guess he had taken. And he's like, don't pay them, don't pay them, don't pay them. And so I'm thinking this must be some kind of scam. This must happen to tourists. I'm going to listen to this guy because he works in the industry. He must know that this happens in some regard. So this woman drops me off and she's asking for payment. And I go, no, I paid already. And so she's following me around this hotel. And I'm like, this woman is not going to leave until I pay her. But this guy's telling me not to pay. I don't know if she's going to charge my card something ridiculous, if they're going to steal my information. So I'm like, I'm not paying this woman. So I check into the hotel. The poor concierge or whatever, you know, is really trying. I can tell he's like practicing his English by helping me check in, but is clearly not getting that I'm like afraid and that something is going wrong. So he's telling me instructions of the hotel. He's saying your room number is 101. He's like, follow me, your room is this way, right down the hall on the first level. And I'm like, oh my god, this is worst case scenario. She's gonna follow me to my room. Now she knows where my room is. So I go into my room and I'm just texting the transfer. I'm like, when are you gonna be here? Because I need you to handle this. He's a guy, he'll translate and get rid of this woman. So finally I leave my room and she's not there, and I just start sobbing. Cause like, you know, when that adrenaline wears off and you're just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And the girls already start piling into the hotel and they're like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I think I just got scammed and the cartel is going to after me and they're going to decapitate me in my hotel room and I'm on the first floor and there's like barely any security. So the transfer comes and I'm like, Brian, where have you been? And he's like, photo? Cause I guess you need a photo to show that you dropped the person off. And I'm like, no, I need you to talk to this woman. We ran into some other people who said, it's fine, she's gone, they're not going to send anybody after you. I'm thinking I need to move rooms. And then I'm like, well, shit, I didn't pay her. Now she's going to send the police after me and I'm going to go to Colombian jail and I won't survive Colombian jail. Just the whole first 2 days, I just was so anxious and stressed out. I was like, I don't know that I can ever take a car again by myself because it just never ends up well. But long story short, didn't get abducted, didn't go to jail. So that's that.
Oh my God.
Oh my God is right.
Did you do cocaine?
No, but I thought about it because I did do my company drug test before I went for Colombia. We did see a lot of cocaine. They just
really?
They do it very casually there. I mean, from what I saw, the first cocktail bar we went to, the DJ was just like casually ripping it. And we were there. Yeah, we were like, hell yeah, bro. So did I partake? No, but I did have several margaritas per night. And that's my Colombia story.
I feel like having to be so just like on top of everything, just like eyes out the back of your head when you get off a plane. What a stressful like society to live in. You know what I mean? And I know it's like obviously targeted more towards tourists, but that's just like so difficult to be like a woman traveling and you're just trying to have a good girl's trip and the taxi drivers are already trying to get you.
I'm literally just like, take my money. I'll pay you for a good time and to come back alive. It's so ironic because I just remember when it was all happening, I remember thinking, wow, I can't wait to tell people back home how safe it is and how much they take care of their women. And here I am getting put in this foreign car that I wasn't supposed to be in. And I'm like, I could have just so easily been snatched. And I was dumb enough to not cross my T's and dot my I's because I trusted this guy thinking that, you know, this was some kind of service from the tourism department.
So the courier was obviously working with this driver, and that's just what they do. They pick up someone's bags and they put you in a car and then they just try to charge you based on that. Like, that's like the whole thing. I feel like the first thing to verify when you get in a car is that they're taking you to the right place and they know who you are.
As dumb as it sounds, I think it was a long travel day, I mean, we had just stood in line for 3 hours. That all I was thinking was, get me to my hotel, please. That happened. And then also it just happened so quickly. Like, they just whisked you away. And also there were things that I did to verify that this was my driver. Like, I had a photo of the guy who I guess was running the company and he had my name. Like, he took me to that guy, but then that guy pawned me off to some other woman. And
that's so weird.
That's what was weird. And so in my mind, I had verified already because he's speaking in their native tongue and he knows I'm looking for him. I've given him my name. And then they whisk me away to one of the women who has my name. So I wasn't thinking anything untoward, but like, she ended up not having my name. She's like, is your name Zephaniah? I'm like, no. Who's Zephaniah? So, yeah,
it sounds like it was a misunderstanding and you weren't in like danger, which I mean, I totally understand why you would feel like you were, because I absolutely would. I would be like 10 toes down, like ready to whatever you were going to do, smash your head against like the windshield or whatever.
Yeah.
Hulk out. I feel like it's like mostly scams are always just like for money rather than like you're going to be in direct danger. But Colombia really is no joke. My best friend was Peruvian and lived in Colombia when I was in college, and she had a lot of crazy stories.
No, I mean, we had men with us the entire weekend that we, about 5 hours into one of our tours, we were like, oh, they're not tour guides. They're here to make sure none of us get abducted or like robbed. So it's great in the sense that the tourism department, like there are really good people in Colombia. And I do get the sense that the people that run in tourism know that there is legitimate danger. Mm-hmm. As one of my tour guides mentioned, he like told us some horrible stories about trafficking. But like at the same time, we had a lot of men with us the whole time.
And this corner is where Gabriella was snatched off the side of the road.
Never to be seen again.
Yeah. He's like, that's why I never let my daughter travel. And I was like, well, we are.
You're doing a great job of selling a comeback of, all of us revisiting this place.
Yeah, but I tipped our boy Eddie well. We loved our tour guide, Eddie. He was so great. But other than that, like, we went to some restaurants and some clubs. And then if you forget kind of where you are in the context of the country that you're in, like, it doesn't feel sketchy. I mean, you can really be drugged anywhere. You can be, you can have anything go wrong at any place.
Happened in Buckhead all the time.
Gee.
It's summertime there, right?
It's summertime all the time there. When we got there, I thought, oh, it's going to be 86 degrees and very temperate. It was like we were on the face of the sun. It was.
Oh, wow.
It's the hottest place I've ever been. It's like you're swimming in the air. That's how thick the humidity is.
What's so funny, Jackson?
It's just you've been quiet for this entire very intense story. And then you come in with, it's summertime there, right?
I don't have anything to add.
Mikey, it's on the equator.
I know that in South America, the seasons are switched. And so that's all I can add to this tidbit here. It's summer, right?
It was very warm and disgustingly humid. I mean, great because it was freezing cold here. The water was like Gatorade.
What? What is that?
Blue ass water.
A lot warmer than Greece.
Blue ass water? You
they
got
made
the
a blue
ass water?
They made a blue ass water?
Water blue.
But the water was really warm. The food, oh my God, the ceviche there was so good.
Ceviche.
You have mate?
What's mate?
That's more of an Argentinian thing.
Oh, okay. I used to have some Argentinian girls that lived in my basement. And they brought
they
us
quote
like
quote unquote lives there.
They brought us mate.
Lived is subjective.
Lived. Continue.
Live. They're still there.
Mikey,
yeah,
quick,
it's
what's
up
ceviche?
To interpretation.
Ceviche.
Yeah,
it's probably like salsa, but it's green or something.
Nice.
Is it?
No, that's wrong.
No. I thought I shot one out of the dark.
Incorrect, but like, I liked it.
It's salsa, but if you made it with just fish.
No, literally. It's good. You'd like it, Mikey.
It's like mashed fish?
Kind of.
Like diced.
No.
Diced
it's fish? It's fish and other stuff marinated in lime juice, and that's how they cook it.
Yeah, it's cold.
So it's like salsa.
Yeah, no, it's fish salsa.
There we go.
Hey, Mikey, do you have any other fun facts for us other than the fact that ceviche is a green salsa?
Who assigned me fun fact time with Mikey?
I did, because I'd like you to contribute more at Weekly Trivia.
Well, I think I've got one for you today. I didn't prepare one, and so then I've been thinking during this podcast, what have I learned recently? What's a fun fact I can bring to the table? And
Mikey,
what I have,
ceviche?
Green salsa. And what I have for you today is... when was the last person executed in the United States of America by hanging?
Oh, I thought you were going to say electric chair, because me and Mikey listened to a whole podcast on the electric chair when we were going to Savannah together for the spring break thing. By hanging?
Yes, ma'am.
1998.
It's definitely later than we think. I'm going to say 1979.
No, I feel like it's got to be the 40s or something.
I'm going to lock in 1998.
Jackson, 70s?
79, yep.
79, Abby, 40s?
I'm just going to say 1940.
Flat.
40.
Flat.
Okay. All right. Well, friends and neighbors, old Bill Bailey was executed by hanging on January 25th, 1996.
Whoa.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
And I didn't.
Hello.
Did he have to commit some kind of like 18th century crime to get hanging as his punishment?
I don't actually even know what he did. What
your
did
punishment
do?
Has to match the crime. that's so funny.
Oh my God.
He robbed a 7-Eleven wearing one of those Peaky Blinder hats. Hey, you got it. You guys, put your hands up.
You get to choose how you die, I'm pretty sure. Like, if you're you do. You get to choose. You can choose, like, lethal injection, or you can choose, if it's available, the electric chair. So I want to know, how would you guys die?
Can you choose, what's that called whenever you line up a bunch of guys with guns and they
firing squad?
Yeah, firing squad.
You can choose that.
They do
that,
too.
I would choose lethal injection, but I just want it to be a lethal amount of Ozempic so I can go out super skinny. I want to look snatched as hell at my funeral.
Rest in peace.
In your twisted head, you think that Ozempic just like zaps away fat off of you and you just become skinny.
You guys, it's a joke. It's a joke. I just want my stomach to be super flat for my open casket funeral.
They open the casket and they're like, wait, there's been a mistake. This is Bella Hadid.
Like her blood sugar levels were, her A1C, so good. Star level at time of death.
Do you get to have your funeral outside of the prison?
I'm pretty sure like whoever family member or friends, whoever wants like your ashes,
whoever wants you
can get them. Yeah, whoever wants you can
who
get
wants
you.
Old Bill Bailey going once, going twice.
I bet Billy has some mistress out there and she was like, I'll take him.
Yeah. Now he's on a mantle.
And that is your fun fact of the week. Thanks, back to Mikey, you guys in the studio.
Thanks, Mikey. For your next one, I want it to be something that you organically learned and not something that you just like Google fun facts.
No, I did not. This was organic. I'll explain why it was. Charlie Crockett has a song called The Death of Bill Bailey. I looked up who Bill Bailey was. Different guy, but it just so turns out that this guy, I learned something.
That is perfect. Thanks
for
joining
another
episode
of
the
Personality
Hires
Podcast,
Love
Us.
Okay, terrible.
Be sure to tune in next week and also share this with your favorite coworker as well. And if you have any office gossip or any office problems, feel free to DM us at Personality Hires Podcast on Instagram or email us at personalityhirespodcast@gmail.com.
See you next week.
Pioneer.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.